Ms. Nelson.
Good afternoon.
I'm very good.
I have our RFAB recommendations for the second cycle of 2014. We have a number of items that were recommended by RFAB and reviewed by RFAB. I can go through all those items and then the staff recommendation. I know we have a lot of comments and a lot of material for one of our items, and we can review that at the end if it's okay for all of you. You're receiving packets of information for item K. They should all be paper clipped together. And then an additional public comment that came in just this afternoon. Apologize for the small font, as this is the same thing that's in your eval. The estimate of funds available in our Virginia Saltwater Recreational Fishing Development Fund as of the end of October was a little over $3.4 million. The RFAB recommended approval of all the items heard with the exception of four. Three were withdrawn by the applicant, and one was not recommended for funding, and that's what all of your information is for. These are the fishing items that were approved. Like I said, they were all approved except for one that was withdrawn by the applicant. These are all multi-year fishing events for 2015. We hear these every year. We get a lot of positive feedback. We had two access projects heard. One was item K, King and Queen County, with the information. A motion was made against funding of that project based on the fact that it did not provide substantial benefits to the saltwater recreational angler, as required by Virginia Code Section 28.2-303.3, and because it was located in a currently designated freshwater area that requires a freshwater fishing license. In the very back of your packet, there is their original application. On page 6 of that application, there is a map. The other access project was withdrawn by the applicant. We expect to get another application from them for the next cycle. They're going to work on their project a little bit more and bring it back to us. The next cycle for access projects those applications will be due December 15th, so they'll be right around the corner. We also had a few research projects. Our game fish tagging project, our annual Young of Year American Eel project, and our federal matching funds were all approved. In addition, we had one new project on speckled trout. This is very similar to one we funded previously, and that research builds on that last year's project. The total recommended expenditures from the saltwater fund are $503,154.48. And $78,183 from our Marine Fishing Improvement Fund. That actually partially funds two of our projects, our federal assistance money, which does a lot of our research projects and our federal mandates, and our American Eel project, which also works on some of our mandated. Both of those are funded at a smaller amount from the commercial fund as well. The staff recommendation is to support the funding recommendations from the RFAB for expenditures totaling $503,154.48 from the Virginia Saltwater Recreational Fishing Development Fund and partial funding of projects N and O totaling $78,183 from the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund. Does anybody have any questions before we move on to item K?
Ms. Erskine.
I just had a question. It seems in the evaluation on page one that there's just over $3.4 million that were available, and this totals just over half a million. Where does the other money go?
Well, this is actually after our agency obligations. We receive a balance every year. I think we usually estimate around $2.2 million to $2.4 million a year. Close to $2.2 million of that goes into agency obligations. So a lot of these are different things. They fund law enforcement. They fund a lot of other obligations required by the General Assembly. After that, we have a balance based on one-time windfalls. I know at one time a few years ago, the Department of Game and Fisheries realized that they hadn't been paying us properly for several years. So we got a big influx of money from them all at one time. And that's happened for several different things. So we do have a large balance, but the balance is because they've monitored their fund really well and because we've had these one-time windfalls. The problem is now, looking forward, is there's a very little difference between the amount of money that we bring in, the amount of money that we use on agency obligations, and small things. So our long-term outlook doesn't look as great as what we see in front of us with the balance.
That's Ms. Erskine. Is there carryover that's
yes.
the table, you're able to carry
yes.
money
that,
over
that's
for
that's the balance okay. that's held on the account.
Okay. Thank you.
I can make this probably a little bit simpler here. Budget policy over the last 7 years of budget cuts has been to use the fees that were paid by recreational anglers for licenses to support, as Elise put it here, agency obligations. They're paying for marine police salaries. They're paying for the saltwater tournament, the artificial reef program. As a result, there really isn't any new money, so to speak, coming in. We have this pot of money here that's been left over from a windfall from the game department, and the advisory board has been very stingy about how that money is recommended for appropriation. It has to last for the foreseeable future. Mr. Neal, does that sound right?
Nope, that sounds just fine. We can go into a lot of history if it's required, but we'll see.
So any other questions from the commission on items A through Q, with the exception of item number K, which is the King and Queen County Pier? If it's all right with you all, I'd like to have a motion to address all the other issues here, with the exception of item K, which we'll separate out into a different discussion and a different vote.
I will move to accept staff and RFAB recommendations for those projects.
There's a motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience here on any of these non-K general funds? We'll save special K for another minute. All right, well, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. And now let's address agenda item number K, the King and Queen County Pier.
Okay. You have in front of you quite a lot of blue paper. And I'll go through what you've got first before we go through some of the issues. The first thing you'll see is a letter from the RFAB chair, Ed Rhodes. He wasn't able to be here today due to illness. But in his letter, he described the vote at the November 17th meeting and some of the reasons that the RFAB did choose to not recommend funding for the project. He noted that the current saltwater to freshwater boundary line, as far as your license line, is located just downstream of the bridge. If you look on page 6 of the application, which is at the back of your packet, there is a map. The Route 33 bridge has been our license line. When the bridge was rebuilt, it was moved slightly downstream. The site of the proposed pier is actually utilizing the road work from the old pier, so they are just upstream of the current license line. The board also felt that by that line and with fish assemblages in the area that it didn't comply with Section 28.2-302.3, which are the guidelines for request to the RFAB, feeling that a freshwater license area pier would not fall under those requirements. They also had some issues with the peer reviews that were submitted. Those are also in your packet just before the RFAB application. And they brought up very similar issues. We also have some public comment from the CCA, and they had marginal support for their project. They suggested 25% of the project cost coming from the saltwater license fund, with the remaining and perhaps more from the locality. He also mentioned the potential population size of the area. In their application, they cite that there are a little over 311 licenses in that area for the population, and they felt that expenditure, that amount of money going toward the pier with that amount of saltwater license participants was not a high enough number. They also commented a little bit that they wanted to see a larger investment from the locality. And finally, he sort of made the same comment that we were just discussing, saying that the RFAB, while they have money in the pot right now, they're facing a pretty limited situation in the future. So they're trying to be very cognizant of funding projects that have a high impact on saltwater anglers. They have asked that we include in the application recently, ask for applicants to actually say, how does your project benefit the saltwater angler very directly? So they're very cognizant of sort of having a lot of bang for your buck. The separate letter that you received on the slightly paler blue paper is something we received this afternoon for it from Charles Southall, who is the co-chair of the RFAB, and he sort of said the same thing. He just wanted to make sure that he had put in, he was also unable to make it due to illness, that the RFAB felt that it wasn't a good bang for your buck, and you can read his responses as well. We also received two public comments from our former Commissioner Bill Pruitt and from Christy Morton in support of the project. And I will point out that when RFAB made their recommendations, it was all prior to all of those letters coming in. The only public comment that they had at the time was the CCA comment with the 25% suggestion and the peer review. You'll also see the peer reviews there, the RFAB application, and the very last thing is a checklist. The checklist is something that we do as a standard for every single access application. And it goes over things that, if approved, would have to go into the final contract. RFAB did not go over any of that because the project didn't get approved. So keep that in mind. Those are conditions that also would have to be reviewed within the funding system. Do I have any questions?
I'll note that this is a recommendation from the Recreational Fishing Advisory Board. The commission makes the ultimate decision. The advisory board is the recommendation. Questions of Alicia from the commission.
What is staff recommendation?
Staff recommendation is to go with RFAB's recommendation.
Which is to deny
approval.
And I guess a comment to just your comment, this commission, I've been going to a lot of history, but to its credit, this commission has supported RFAB's decision almost 100% of the time, with two exceptions I can think of. One still has the recreational community very upset. The other was handled totally differently, and basically that was the striped bass study. That did not upset anybody because recreational fishermen were consulted, and it went back to RFAB and everyone was consulted. RFAB, when it was founded, it was put in charge of this saltwater fund that we wanted. The saltwater fishermen championed it and had this fund established. And unlike the other advisory, it was set up as an advisory board like FinFish and those other things, but it's different. Really, our role has been as an oversight to make sure that the millions of dollars these guys were in charge with were being spent appropriately. Now it's thousands of dollars due to, again, a lot of history. So even though we have the final decision, if you're going to override these people, there should be some really good reasons. Like you don't think they're doing a job, those kind of reasons.
Okay. Let's hear if there are some really good reasons. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify here and to speak on this matter? Delegate Hodges, please come forward. Please speak into the microphone and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Commissioner Bull. My name is Keith Hodges, and also commission members. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I live in Urbana, Virginia. I am the delegate in the Virginia General Assembly representing the 98th District, which is Gloucester, Matthews, Middlesex, King and Queen, Essex, and part of King William County. I'm a business owner in Gloucester, and I have lived, worked, hunted, and fished in the Middle Peninsula my entire life. I'm here to speak today on behalf and in support of the King and Queen Pier Project in hope that the commission will override the decision by the recommendation of the advisory board. I'm not here to speak on the details of the projects. We have other folks here that can speak much more eloquently than I can on that. But I'm here as a legislator, as a delegate in the General Assembly in the legislative branch, in an executive agency. Why? Because I believe the law that the Virginia Saltwater Recreational Fishing Development Fund to improve recreational fishing opportunities in Virginia is not being followed properly in this case. Legislators, we make laws, we amend laws, we repeal laws, and we often, unfortunately, we find ourselves bogged down in the bureaucracy of the executive agency, and I'm here today to help our constituents through this process and speak on behalf of this. And hopefully, by the time we finish today, I can show you that this is an eligible project for funding in saltwater and will be eligible for funding in this process. So, going back in a little history, in the first meeting where this was presented before the advisory board on September 8th, there was concern after that meeting, and as you said today, from the advisory board members about the project because the enforcement line for freshwater and saltwater licenses may have moved when the Route 33 bridge just moved 50 yards downriver when VDOT built the new 33 crossing. Actually, if it would have been built when the old line was there, it would be in saltwater. Well, immediately, you know, of course, it didn't go through that night. And, of course, I wanted to find out what the concerns were from that meeting. Well, immediately after that meeting, I talked with Chairman Rhodes, who confirmed the concern of the advisory board members. I then spoke to the commissioner and also to the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. And with the help of Mr. Ryan Brown at DGIF, we found that this line is actually set forth in a memorandum of understanding between the agencies. So I have a letter here from Mr. Duncan, the executive director at DGIF, stating that DGIF is willing to work with the commission to amend the agreement, and also have an email from Mr. Ryan Brown at DGIF that it is committed, that DGIF is committed so that the end result of the pier being built would require a saltwater license. So also talked with the commissioner as well, and on more than one occasion, the commissioner was most kind and expressed his willingness to sign a clarifying MOU in order for this project to move forward. So these actions by both agencies clearly would place this project in saltwater and clearly make it eligible for funding. So you would have thought this would have taken care of the problem. Well, but obviously, it did not satisfy the concerns of the advisory board members, and the project was, as you see now, it was not recommended for funding. So I, you know, as a delegate, and also, you know, I would love to take my girls fishing on that pier, I was upset and concerned and felt we really deserved some answers. So, in talking with folks, I learned there were two main concerns from this commission. Number one, which was not here today, it was not a high-impact area. We talked about the fishing license, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Well, King and Queen County, it may not have a lot of people, but there's a lot of traffic on Route 33 with an estimated 15,000 vehicles a day. This is the closest saltwater access point to Richmond, Henrico, Hanover, and the metropolitan areas west of the Middle Peninsula, where residents purchase thousands of saltwater fishing licenses a year. And that is exactly why the boat ramp just across the river in West Point is probably one of the busiest around and probably one of the busiest in the state. The Middle Peninsula is easily accessible to these folks in the metropolitan areas. So if you're driving down and launching your boat to fish, and most of those boats have a saltwater fishing license, so if you're driving down to fish, I guarantee they're going to come down to the Middle Peninsula to fish from that pier. The location of this King and Queen Pier is also within a 45-minute drive to most of the 90,000 residents in the Middle Peninsula. The second concern was, of course, as you see, you don't want to fund projects in what they call brackish water. Well, if you talk about brackish water, a large portion of Virginia's tributaries that flow into the bay and require a saltwater license, they're brackish. I grew up in West Point, and in King and Queen County on the York River, fishing in the Mattapony, the Pamunkey, and the York Rivers, and routinely fishing around that bridge all of my life. I've caught spot, croaker, rockfish, crabs, skate, stingrays, puppy drum around this bridge. And, of course, bottlenose dolphins are also routinely seen. I don't believe any of these species are freshwater. So you help me. I don't know if a croaker is considered freshwater. It's not. And I challenge really anyone to catch a freshwater fish under that bridge. I also have concerns in looking at the peer reviews that they're filled with errors. You know, it was stated incorrectly in a peer review the project did not meet statutory guidelines, And they stated they did not believe it was the intent of the General Assembly to fund these projects. And one thing I have learned, you cannot assume what the intent of the General Assembly is. Never can you assume that. Only the General Assembly can say what its intent is. The peer review incorrectly stated the types of fish that are caught here, stating that freshwater fish would be caught. I've fished there all of my life and never caught a freshwater fish. That rockfish would be available at times. Well, I've fished under those bridges all of my life, and just with a bamboo pole and grass shrimp, have caught rockfish in you know, what many anglers would only dream to have fishing experiences like that. And I've filled croakers my entire life under those bridges, coolers full of croakers under these bridges. Well, these peer reviews, they're anonymous, and the committee members are making decisions based on inaccurate information. So if the committee is providing information, it should be accurate and it should be reliable, and it is flawed with errors. So going back to the brackish water, if you're not going to fund projects in brackish areas, then you are removing the York River just up from West Point all the way down to Gloucester Point. You are removing the entire Rappahannock River and its tributaries, and you are removing all of the tributaries in the Potomac River and some on the eastern shore as well. We've done our research, and all of these areas are what you refer to as mesohaline waters, and they all have very similar salinity, which can vary, but they all have similar salinity with similar species. We've also done some additional research and found that projects in mesohaline waters have also been funded in Accomack and also in Suffolk. So if you're going to fund projects in mesohaline waters, if you've already funded projects, there's precedence, and there is no reason to not fund this project, which is in mesohaline waters. And that is confirmed with VIMS. Now, the fishing license that are purchased in Virginia, they're either for saltwater or for freshwater. There is no license for a brackish water fishing license. And the price to purchase that license, it's the same no matter where you fish in the Commonwealth. So you don't get a discount on your fishing license based on the salinity of the water. Now, the Middle Peninsula, it generates its fair share of revenue from saltwater fishing licenses. In fact, it generates more revenue from saltwater fishing licenses than Newport News, than Norfolk, than Portsmouth, than Suffolk, than Chesapeake, or Hampton. So the right thing to do is to return the money back to the localities that paid into the fund. I represent an area that is 250 square miles larger than Rhode Island. It's a fairly large house district. You know how many public saltwater fishing piers we have in that district? One, in Gloucester Point at the far end of the district. So in the 60 miles from Gloucester Point to Tappahannock, where the freshwater saltwater line is at the bridge, 360 bridge, there is not one saltwater public fishing pier. Not one. So each and every locality in the Middle Peninsula sees this as an economic driver for the Middle Peninsula and our localities. And each and every one of those localities supports this project. And we have here today, we have representatives from King and Queen, we have representatives from Matthews, West Point, and from Gloucester as well. So, Commissioner Bull, members of the commission, thank you for listening to my comments, and I urge you to carefully listen to Mr. Lawrence will speak, and Mr. Schwartzwelder will speak, and I urge you to fund this important project. And we'd be glad to answer any questions if you had them.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the committee? Mr. Zedra.
Was all this information presented to the advisory board?
I'll let Mr. Schwartzwelder pretend to the advisory board, and I do have concerns because I expressed my concerns to the chairman of the advisory board, who knew about the MOU. He actually have emails from the chairman of the advisory board that is in possession with the letter from Mr. Duncan and also the email from Mr. Brown, and he is well aware in the ongoing process of all of these things. And it's my concern that these dollars are not coming back to the rural areas. I will tell you flat out, it's not coming back to the rural areas, and we pay our lion's share into this, over $200,000 a year If you said there's, what, $2 million, I believe, paid into that fund a year, that's 10%. Coming out of the Middle Peninsula.
But you made this pitch to the advisory board.
I could not attend. And actually, I was concerned, and I will tell you here today, that I was concerned that the comment was made that I was supporting the project. I should have been there. But in fact, Mr. Schwartzwelder was speaking. He will be up in a minute to speak. He is the county administrator for King and Queen County, and I was presenting, had a prior engagement, and was presenting in front of his board that night and could not be there. But these comments were made to the advisory board. And I worked with the chairman of the advisory board at length to let him know about all of this.
Any other questions to the commission? Thank you, Delegate Hodges.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Someone else wish to address the commission on this matter?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Tom Schwartzwelder. I'm the county administrator in King and Queen. If y'all will bear with me a little bit, I'm going to have to go a little off script due to some of the statements that were made by staff and some of the concerns expressed by Mr. Neal and Mr. Zedrin. I would like to start there with some emails from Mr. Rhodes to sort of clarify the situation. These were emails sent to Delegate Hodges, which Keith, I'm sure on the fly, didn't have time to look up. But this is from Mr. Rhodes to Delegate Hodges, dated November 17, 9:29 a.m., received an email from DGIF with proposed language for the MOU that would include pier as saltwater license required. Ryan Brown also stated that the amendment would not be necessary until the pier is actually built. I will check this morning to see how I need to handle this tonight at the meeting and will keep you posted. Subsequent email, this one is dated September 10, which I guess is prior to that. Thank you for the call yesterday and for your support. Efforts to make sure that this is received. We're talking about the MOU. So in essence, to answer your question, there was discussion. And when I had the opportunity to speak in front of the RFAB board, that discussion came up. And one of the questions asked to me was, don't you think this MOU should be addressed first? And my answer was, that I can't tell you. That's between the two executive bodies. But to get more to the point, and this was a discussion I did raise with RFAB, and staff was there and was happy to jump up and correct me, but I don't know that I accept their correction. And that is, you have an MOU from the 80s from when Mr. Pruitt was here. And the MOU says that the saltwater, freshwater dividing line for purposes of enforcement will be the northern edge of the Route 33 bridge. Okay. As you were told about 10 years ago, VDOT built a new bridge, and they located it about 20 or 30 yards, depending on which side you're on, south of that abutment. We purchased that abutment from VDOT, so it's actually the old bridge approach is still there. And the pier is proposed to be below the line on the MOU. Now, what I would propose to you, I'm also the county attorney, is you all entered an MOU with another agency. A bridge moved. It's troubling to me that your position would be we don't have to amend our MOU when the geographic landmarks move. This gentleman, I apologize for forgetting his name, was very instructive to me in my appearance and pointing out to me how complicated the formula was to decide where the salt and freshwater line would be, that it was composed of many components, involved a lot of analysis. So I submit to you, how does that complicated line move when VDOT moves a bridge? I understand the importance of having to have a visual landmark for purposes of enforcement, but what I'm telling you is both VDOT bridge abutments are still there. If you look at the aerial photographs provided to you, there is a clear line. And I would tell you that in my opinion, as a matter of law, the line didn't move. I, as a locality, can't change the facts of an MOU and have the MOU hold water anymore. I have to amend my MOU. You are saying, or the RFAB is saying, VDOT, by moving a bridge, changed your MOU. Not you, not DGIF, but VDOT. And I would submit to you that I can't find anything in the legislation that says VDOT even gets a bite at the apple in this decision, let alone a seat at the table. It's strictly between the two agencies. And I think what we have is DGIF, at least, and from what I understand from Delegate Hodges, perhaps Mr. Bull saying, we don't really have to do anything with this MOU, maybe clarify it. Correct. VDOT can't move our line. That's where the line was. That's where the line is. And I'm certainly not going to, I can't imagine that you all are willing to say, I will defer my authority to the Virginia Department of Transportation to tell VMRC where the freshwater-saltwater dividing line is. And that is a fundamental part of this. Now, Mr. Neal, to answer your concern, there was a lot of information that I don't think RFAB had. And a lot of that information was conveyed to staff through us and maybe interpreted as our opinion, but there was information, such as this argument, such as the discussion. I am not aware that Mr. Rhodes ever shared with the members of his board the discussions that he was having with DGIF and Mr. Bull about possibly dealing with the amendment. It didn't happen when I was there, and I understand from Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Brise, who attended the other two meetings, it didn't happen when they were there. The other bit of information that we don't have, and this is equally troubling, just Friday, your staff sent me an email asking six questions about funding. The same staff person who stood up here and told you today that RFAB has questions about funding. This proposal is 6 months old. We've answered every question that can be answered. I personally answered the funding questions, and I'll explain it to you all. We were told by RFAB that we were the first applicant to ever try to leverage DGIF funds as part of our match. That said, nothing in your rules, regulations, or in the Virginia Code prevents it. I personally told RFAB that if DGIF didn't provide the funding or they didn't provide enough funding, that the county was fully prepared to cover the difference to make the project happen. Yesterday, your staff member sent an email to myself and to Mr. Lawrence saying, "You're right, I've reviewed everything, and we cannot require you to pledge anything other than hard dollars." So RFAB was not told that our request to use DGIF funding as part of this process was allowed and perfectly permitted. Matter of fact, as of Friday, your staff's position was that it was unlawful or against your rules. I can't remember. I can pull the email, but y'all will get bored if I read you every email. So the bottom line is they didn't have that bit of information. The decision it was based on, as I understand staff today, and again, bear with me because this is not necessarily where I planned to go today, on a list of items, one of them was the funding component. And again, I have stated it in person. I've written an email to your staff stating that we were prepared to cover. November 17, 2014, sent to Ms. Nelson. I'm unable to attend the meeting because I've been requested in my capacity as county attorney to attend my board meeting. Harrison Brise will be attending for me, and obviously I'm paraphrasing. I'll tell you what I'm quoting. Quoting, "The issue of local funding has been raised in both prior meetings and in some peer reviews. I wish to be clear. King and Queen County is prepared to participating in the financing of this project. We fully anticipate having to participate in the funding as well as to provide long-term maintenance of the pier, parking, and other pertinent features. Where possible, such will be handled by county staff. Where necessary, the county will subcontract the required services. The issue of our application for DGIF funding to assist any grant award from VMRC has also been raised. Again, nothing in the VMRC or DGIF rules prevent us from doing so. It is clear that the rules were designed to encourage both agencies to fund public access projects. It has been intimated to us that this approach has never been taken before. I submit that the county should not be punished for following the rules." I then go on to ask that this be given to Mr. Rhodes and become part of the record and shared with RFAB. I don't know if that happened, but since they're still questioning our local commitment, I have to assume that they weren't made aware of that. So, Mr. Neal, I understand your reticence anytime you're dealing with an advisory body. I deal with it every day, planning commissions, other things that go to my board of supervisors. And it is always hard because, in essence, these boards develop somewhat of a specialty in an area. But in this case, you're 100% correct. They didn't have all the facts. They didn't. We can debate whether the MOU changed or not. Staff's position is that it moved with the bridge. My position is, how in the world did it move with the bridge? And did you all agree to have it move with the bridge? And is that the way that the lines move all the time? Because at one time, VDOT was planning on building the bridge further downriver, all the way down to the York River, one single bridge instead of two. Would that have moved the line 2 miles south? According to staff, it would. So this complicated formula that you all use to apply to things really moves when VDOT says it does, or perhaps Dominion, if it's power lines, which some of the other ones are, Dominion's resets their power lines, the lines move. And I submit to you that that's nonsense. You all entered into an MOU. You drew a line on the map. Only you can change that line. As a matter of law, I don't think that the line has changed. Again, we're more than happy to participate in the funding. We've said it all along. I don't think that you can hold the DGIF application against us. Nobody's ever said to me, we need X number of dollars from the county. Will you provide it? Nobody's ever asked me that question specifically. They said, will the county participate? Sure. How much will the county participate? Whatever's necessary to get the project done. But I'll submit to you, where is that requirement in the code or in the Virginia Administrative Code? You have a match requirement, but nowhere in there does it say that you push and prod and negotiate on the amount of dollars in the award. But to be honest with you, after 6 months and three public hearings, of this being our fourth, I wish somebody would have just entered into a negotiation with us. It would have been a lot easier. It's troubling to me the way that the peer reviews are characterized as well, because I obviously have had a chance to read them and read them very carefully. So there's three. There's two peer reviews and there's one from CCA. Since they're anonymous, I don't know how to refer them to you other than the one that I call number one is the one that rated us a 7. And in this particular peer review, it says the site is a good spot for fishing. Pier access may give an alternative to the DGIF fishing pier located across the river and upstream. Project's weaknesses: need to determine a saltwater license would be valid. So this reviewer's only concern was, is it fresh or saltwater? Where they would have gotten the information about where the fresh and saltwater line, I don't know, because from what I'm told, these are anonymous reviews from people in the community, not from staff. Second peer review, this is the longer one that doesn't like the project. This facility is located in waters where the primary fish assemblages are brackish of water and freshwater. Delegate Hodges addressed that. I don't need to waste your time on that. Depending on salinity levels, which will be variable, croaker could be a sporadic part of the summer catch. I agree with Delegate Hodges. I defy you to catch muskshells other than a croaker there. First of all, you got to work your way through all the crab pots in order to get to the area because it's a heavily crab-laden area. But again, it's the saltwater question. I think the peer review that I'm most excited about is from CCA because CCA overwhelmingly supports the project but raises the question of saltwater. They say, while this well-structured request reflects one of the hallmark purposes of the fund, angler access, we feel the saltwater fund should not provide more than 25%. It would be appropriate to have the local municipality share in a greater commitment. And they give us a qualified support. Now, in the same report, they have no trouble saying that they do not support federal assistance, Virginia Fishing Pier Partner Program. So we know then they had to say no, right, because they said no to the same people. In our case, what they're saying is, no, because of the saltwater-freshwater issue. If the saltwater-freshwater issue isn't an issue, then CCA supports the fund. That's directly what they've written. They may question the amount of funding, and again, that's a decision that you all make. But CCA is not opposed to this project. But you have to be careful in how you read these things, right? I mean, you know, qualified support, we're worried about saltwater. If the saltwater is away, then they support it. I'm going to leave you with one last image, and then I will let Mr. Lawrence address some of the technical aspects of the project, should you all have any of those. And again, bear with me, I'm having to shuffle. Can everyone see this? This is a bottlenose dolphin swimming down the river. Pier location would be upstream, close to where this water tower is. And this guy's going back south down the river. Now, I would submit to you that according to your staff, that dolphin swam up the river, saw the bridge, I'm getting too darn close to the line, turned around and hauled tail back. What I'm telling you is they go up there all the time, and they go up there to feed, and they go past the bridge. And you do have to look at the types of fishes. You can't just look at an enforcement line that VDOT has changed on your behalf without your input, without your permission, without even a vote. And to answer your question, I don't think you have to overturn the RFAB recommendation. I think that's the salient point here. They didn't have all of this information, and what they did have was some of it was being debated. But nobody told them, hey, they can use this DGIF money. Nobody gave them the detailed budget analysis that we were only asked for on Friday because they'd already issued their opinion. So they didn't have all the facts. They didn't have the information you have. And as staff pointed out, they didn't have these letters. And there are several more that have come into Mr. Bull's email. I'm sure he's been busy today, but from Essex County and other counties today. So there's a lot of information that, wasn't shared, but a lot of this has grown out of the fact that the determination that mesohaline waters is not salty enough has created the problem for us, because that knocks out, like Delegate Hodges said, the major water bodies on the Middle Peninsula. Rappahannock River oysters are the most popular in the area because of what? Salinity. But it's mesohaline, almost exactly the same as the location of this bridge. So there are issues are here. What I suggest to you is you can reach a determination to fund this project, and you can reach the determination to support it without really contradicting the RFAB board, because they didn't have everything that you now have. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you all may have for me or about funding or anything else.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
I just have a question. As your county administrator and King and Queen, do you hear from recreational anglers that are in support of this project?
Absolutely. I will tell you, it's kind of ironic that you'd ask that question. We, 2 years ago, in our tax bills, included a poll of what people wanted. We had a list of questions. Number one thing they asked for was wireless internet. We did that. We built that out. The number two thing they asked for was public fishing gear. And the reason is this. Boat ramps take care of the saltwater fishermen with boats, but there are hundreds and thousands of people who don't have boats. And I wish that I had known we would come to this head this summer. And County Administrator from West Point is here. They have the same bridge abutment on their side. Both of those abutments are jammed with people all summer long, standing on the rocks, wading in the water, all out there with double hook bottom rigs trying to catch croaker. And I wish I could have taken pictures for you. I also agree with the delegate that it's not fair to just say that there were only 300 and some licenses purchased in King and Queen, because the town of West Point, which is on the other side of the bridge, has several thousand people and multiple licenses sold there. And as you heard, there's nowhere for these people to go. You have $212,000 in saltwater fishing revenue that if you don't own a boat, you have one option on the Middle Peninsula, or you have to drive to Norfolk or Newport News. And that kind of leads me to another thing, Mr. Erskine, if you'll bear with me, is the idea of impact. Is it more impactful to extend the Hampton or Newport News Pier, which those parties were joking about at one of our RFAB meetings, is how they get funding in alternate years to extend their piers? Or is it more impactful to go into one of the most rural parts of Virginia where you have a tremendous number of saltwater licenses and no access? And I'd argue the point that, you know, and not to be self-serving, but you're going to greatly impact these people's lives. They have nowhere else to go. So what is the standard for impact? Staff says that you're supposed to look at the impact of the project, but where's the standard so I can make my case? I can't, because there is no standard. So, again, I'm going to submit to you, when you can reach out to 90,000 people in a rural area that have one saltwater pier, and you can build a little, small, $130,000 pier, you're dramatically impacting those people's lives, as well as the lives of the people from Richmond who pass through there. We are the gateway to the Middle Peninsula. If you look at the geography, if you're coming from the Richmond area, you have to come through King and Queen. You have to go across that bridge. You have to drive past that pier. So I would submit to you that I, and I think my fellow administrators, fully expect this pier to be standing room only all the time. And my bosses are getting fussed at by their constituents for not delivering something that they sent a poll out for and were asked to provide and haven't been able to provide it.
Follow-up question?
Yes, sir.
Can you fish from the West Point Bridge?
No. The bridge itself, it is posted as no fishing.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zetron.
Do you know if the advisory board was told that the saltwater line was moved to the bridge?
What I can tell you is I made a similar argument to them about the MOU, although I will admit it's gotten better from the time I got to you guys. At the time, and this gentleman can chime in, but he jumped up and commented about the fact that it followed the bridge. The line followed the bridge.
He's shaking his head, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I mischaracterized.
Chairman, I stood up and answered a question.
Any other questions?
Yeah. You say your county is willing to pony up the funds. So what happens if you do not get funding from the RFAB, from the recreation license money? Are you still going to build this pier?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know.
So you don't know how much you can afford? afford to pay for this beer?
I know that we're prepared to cover the full matching requirement. And I believe the total project cost of the pier is $182,000. We're asking you for $136,000, but that's just the pier. We are responsible for the parking lot, the parking area, the green space, the picnic tables, the things that you may have seen on your plan, as well as the maintenance and things that fall under the county. So we are fully prepared to participate. King and Queen, it is a county that has the capacity to do that. I'm not sure, though, that the board would fund the entire project. They may. To be frank with you, they may. But I'm not certain that that should disqualify our ability to pay shouldn't certainly disqualify us from this process.
Just a question.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Any other questions? Mr. Ballard.
Assuming if this were approved today, what would your construction timetable be?
Mr. Lawrence, you remember, I can tell you this. We have our VMRC permit. We have our Corps of Engineer approval. So it would be a matter of going out to bid, which would be typically be a 90-day process. So our goal was to begin in the spring, which is what we shared with, I think, RFAB early on.
Mr. Sessions.
I've heard a lot of information, and to Ken's point, the RFAB is a great advisory committee. Y'all have a lot of good, valid points. I'm just reaching out. Is there an opportunity to send this back to RFAB?
That's going to be my recommendation.
And revisit some of these points that I'm not convinced were heard, or I really don't know. I wasn't there.
That will be my recommendation when we get to that point, but I think you have other people to hear from.
Yeah, I believe we do. Any other questions, Mr. Schwartzel? Thank you, sir.
Thank you all very much for your time.
Somebody else wish to address the commission on this matter? And will the record reflect that indeed I received an email from Reese Peck, Administrator of Essex County, at 10:09 this morning? I was a little preoccupied, and it argues for approval of this project by the commission. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Lewis Lawrence. I'm the Executive Director for the Middle Peninsula Planning District Commission. I'm going to talk a little bit about the issue of the mesohaline question and then what my commission did as a matter of action on this. I want to submit two documents to you all, which you probably already received in the mail. The commission asked me to send it to you all electronically and in the snail mail. One thing I've become very uncomfortable with is the second that my delegate asked me a science question. I am trained in policy, not science. So I picked the phone up, called Mark Lukenbach at VIMS. I said, Mark, my delegate would like to know what is the salinity level around the town of West Point and how far does that fish assemblage exist? Mark said, okay, you need to go to the VACOS data portal that VIMS has, click on the data stations, and it will tell you what the salinity regime is for that area that's there. So Mark, I was on the phone with him. He said, bring it up at the same time. So I clicked on it. I said, okay, it's telling me that the area around West Point is mesohaline, and that's 5 to 18 parts per thousand. He said, yes. I said, so does that mean if I click on other data stations and other rivers, it's going to be the similar fish assemblage, similar salinity? He said, yes. Any station that you can find that says mesohaline, 5 to 18 parts per thousand are going to be the same fish assemblage. Well, that immediately caused me to draw this map. What I wanted to see was what does that area look like? When you're talking about equity issues, across the Middle Peninsula, there was over 5,000 licenses purchased in 2011. Multiple thousands on the Eastern Shore, same thing on the Northern Neck. So you've got those three rural PDCs contributing a lion's share of funding into this program. Well, if all of a sudden the litmus test is mesohaline waters, look at all of the waters in the Chesapeake Bay and the tributaries that are now off limits. That you've got citizens of the Commonwealth buying these licenses to fund this program, and this money's not being returned back to those communities. So I sent this map to the Northern Neck PDC and over to the Eastern Shore. I said, pay attention to this. Take a look at this. Elaine Neal, the executive director there, sent me a note last night that said, wow, you know, we can't speak to the legitimacy of the King and Queen project, but we can speak to the concern that we have about our waters being designated as mesohaline and being off limits. So that is a concern to the rural community. We often have to speak as a unified voice. And in this case, you've got before you a resolution from my planning district commission on this issue. All of the points that are here, the two previous speakers have already talked about. But what I do want to draw your attention to is the list of signatories at the bottom of it. That I will read to the record, because it is a very important list of those that serve the Commonwealth day in and day out. These are the ones that were elected to take care of the people's business. These are the ones that have said that this has been an arbitrary and capricious execution of the rules, and we need to say this. We need to ask you all here to overturn the Recreation Fishing Advisory Board denial for funding. Gary Allen, Citizen Representative, Essex County, his entire career as the County Administrator. Prue Davis, Essex County Board of Supervisors. Reese Peck, County Administrator. Bud Smith, Vice Chairman for Essex County, Chairman of the Planning District Commission. Ashley Crisco, Vice Chairman, Gloucester County Board of Supervisors. Brenda Garten, County Administrator. Dr. Maurice Lynch, Citizen Representative, Gloucester. The Honorable John Myers, Gloucester County Board of Supervisors. The Honorable Sharon C. Alsop, King and Queen County Board of Supervisors. James Milby, King and Queen County Supervisor. Tom Schwarzwelder, King and Queen County Administrator. Travis Mikowski, King William County Board of Supervisor. Eugene Rivera, PDC Representative, King William. Otto Williams, Vice Chairman of the Planning District Commission and Chairman of the King William County Board of Supervisors. The Honorable O.J. Cole, Treasurer and Vice Chairman to the Planning District Commission, Matthews County Board of Supervisors. Tim Hill, Citizen Representative, Matthews County. Charles Ingram, Chairman of the Board of Matthews County. Trudy Feigham, Citizen Rep, Middlesex County. Wayne Jesse, Middlesex County Board of Supervisors. Honorable Jack Miller, Chairman of the Middlesex County Board of Supervisors.
Louis, we got the point.
You get the point. I don't need to go on with it.
Thanks.
All the folks that have signed on are here. That's all I got to say. I'll take any questions you all may have.
Any questions, Mr. Lawrence, from the commission? Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you for your time.
Does anybody else wish to testify on this matter? Seeing none, matters before the commission. Mr. Erskine.
I had a question for the staff.
Mr. Erskine has a question to staff.
Have other piers been built in these mesohaline waters using RFAB money?
I can't think of any that have been built on a license line. I'd have to look at the map that we have right now of what we call mesohaline waters. But we have, most of our peers that I can think of in recent history have been very much considered saltwater areas. The question of the license line and the salt water, it was a big issue at our meeting. And the license line, the conversation about the questions that were asked was the difference in trying to figure out where a saltwater, freshwater license line is. And that's kind of where we had the science questions of the meeting was it is complicated to figure out what's called saltwater and what's called freshwater. But from a regulatory standpoint, we have to draw a line. And the preference there is a hard structure because it's recreational anglers. And, even commercial anglers prefer a hard line. And so that's one thing that the Recreational Fishery Advisory Board, they felt pretty strongly that we need to keep it some hard structure that's easy to see. And they were very uncomfortable with considering let's move a line somewhere, let's play with these rules. That made them uncomfortable when they're considering funding because they felt like a hard structure is really valuable. And that's kind of where we got some of that. Other things, just so that everyone knows, the RFAB were provided everything that we've been discussing here with the exception of the public comments that have just come in. And they did not receive Mr. Schwarzwelder's budget detail, and this is just a copy of what you have in your packet. But the information is the same that was in their application. We did ask them to provide a few additional details last week saying, let me make sure, and it was my email, I said, please make sure that I have this correct. I don't want to misrepresent you in front of the commission. And so I did ask some repetitive questions. I just wanted to be very sure that when I put this in front of you, that's as the project was intended. So RFAB did not get that extra piece of information yesterday, and they don't have the few public comments that are just coming in today and yesterday. Everything else that you've had before you, all the discussion on the licenses, the MOUs, that was not only given to them but discussed at length. And I can cover those if you'd like. The biggest issue with the MOU, as it was discussed, is that we did have a letter. We realized that they did realize this could change as far as the license rules, but they were uncomfortable funding a project and then seeing the license change later. They kind of didn't like funding. I think one of the members mentioned on a promise. And then they also had issues regardless of the funding, too, which were kind of why they moved forward with the way they did. They said, we don't like this because of the license line issue, but there's also other issues about the number of people, the amount of county match and that kind of thing. So there was a lot of different issues, and they really did discuss this project at length. It was most of their work session was devoted to the project. As far as our public hearings, RFAB runs on a pretty standard cycle, and it's the same way for every project, access fishing event. Everybody has a part in three meetings every cycle, and then it's brought to you. So that's nothing new for any of those either. And as far as asking all the details about the funding source, at the end, after a project, if a potential project is approved, when we write a contract, the contract has a lot of details, and including in that details is your total cost of your project. I had a lot of questions about their match just because I need to make sure what's included in the total project, if it includes that boat ramp, if it doesn't, if we would do a potential contract. That contract would also have to list all of the funding sources used in that total contract. So that's kind of where we do get nitpicky, but it's nothing new. It's, Chincoteague, we did it last year, and we asked them the same thing. Does anybody have any other questions?
I'll note to clarify the record a little bit here is I personally am not concerned with where the freshwater-saltwater line currently is. That is a matter that's purely a matter of a memorandum of understanding between VMRC and the Game Department. The Game Department is willing to move the line, and so am I. It's just a matter of signing a new agreement that basically states that the line is where this pier would be. The Game Department would rather do that, as I understand it, if this project is approved for funding, as opposed to doing it and doing it for no reason if the project is not approved. So they had a cart and horse issue.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The line is where that old pier was, right?
The line is where the new bridge is, because the MOU says the line is the Route 33 bridge. That the bridge itself has moved, the MOU has not moved.
At an appropriate time, I would ask the Attorney General to do an opinion, a legal opinion, as to whether that original MOU was moved by the bridge or not, and where is the line legally? And I think that would need to be part of the motion if we refer it back.
Mr. Hull, do you have a thought? If not, I have a thought.
My only thought here is that really it would be a matter of construing the MOU, basically, which is more or less a matter of contract interpretation. And, the way it's phrase will be important, so we'll actually need to see the MOU before I make a final call about, legally, where the line is now under the MOU. But the main kind of touchstone is what the intent of the parties is. So, if the parties intended to move the line with the bridge, then if the bridge moves, then the line moves. And if not, and if it was just a marker for the line that was supposed to be forever under the terms of the contract, then the line would stay. It's just a really sort of fact-specific inquiry.
And I would ask that all the commissioners get a copy of those MOUs as well.
Yes, a simple MOU here. There is a bit of an enforcement issue, just so that you're aware. The law enforcement enforces for the Marine Police and the Game Department as well here. The line being the Route 33 bridge, because the MOU says the Route 33 bridge. If we interpret that to mean the old former Route 33 bridge, there's a bit of a gray area. Granted, that's a very small area, but why get into that mess if we don't have to, was my thinking. If the project's approved, we change the line with two signatures.
I have some comments, and I can make, we could talk about this all day. Where the mesosaline waters are, that's immaterial. That doesn't matter. What matters is where the saltwater license is required. We can go back historically when the saltwater license was established. The seaside got exempted, and so it was a Chesapeake Bay license. And so all projects on the seaside were not funded. That's salty as it gets. So it does not matter how salt the water is. It matters where the jurisdiction of this license applies. I do think the project is great. I mean, if you're going to build a fishing pier, build a fishing pier. I think that's fantastic. But the question is who should pay for it? And if you're going to build a fishing pier in an area that by statute, by our whatever you want to call it, is in the freshwater, under freshwater regulations, then the funding shouldn't be coming from the saltwater license. It just shouldn't. Now, and so this other thing about moving the license, moving the line, well, I think that should be addressed first, because we're asking Virginia's saltwater license anglers to fund a project in a place that their license doesn't cover, and then saying, well, we might change the line later. And so basically, I would want to clean that up first and then take the whole thing back to RFAB. But so back when the Chesapeake license thing, the citation program, we have a whole different form now just because of that. Because of Chesapeake Bay anglers had to have a fishing license. Anglers fishing out of Virginia Beach along the coast did not have to have a fishing license. And so we said, well, you're not part of the fishing license, and the license fund is funding the citation program. You're not part of it unless you get a saltwater fishing license. And so we have a line on our little citation form now. You have to put your license number on there. And so it really comes down to two things. One, right now, this pier is a freshwater pier, and I don't care if they're daggone marlin swimming up there. By regulation, this is a freshwater area. Unless we change the regulation, and so that's just kind of where we are. And I also disagree that the license fund money doesn't go back to these localities. In general, these funds were in the millions. Now most of that money is being used for VMRC operations, various things, ball bro matches, law enforcement personnel, all the stuff that VMRC does. And I think that what BMRC does is of value to all these localities. And so the majority of this license money is going back to you. And so, I would send this back to RFAB, but I don't expect them to do anything different unless we change that line.
Additional discussion?
I need to ask a question.
Mr. Zedra.
Is there some reason why this pier has got to be right there? Why can't they move the pier over into the undisputed saltwater side?
Well, Alicia, Joe, can you tackle that?
I'd rather defer to King and Queen County. Thank you very much.
Just my quick point is I like the pier.
Yeah.
I don't like overruling RFAB. And I think that with what they've had, they've done the only decision they can make.
Moving the pier down would be great, but it's all privately held property, and it's not available for sale. This was a piece of property that was purchased by the county from the Virginia Department of Transportation. It has saltwater property, and I'm glad you have council present, because I think that's really the germane question, and that is, can VDOT move your line? Because I understand your concerns. I wouldn't want to just, it's one thing to move a line. It's another thing to recognize that the line's where the line is and where it's always been. And I think maybe you're on track. Maybe you need an AG's opinion. But I think council's perfectly adept to answer that. But I think that's the germane question just from listening to you all. You don't have to move the line if the line's where it always has been. But if you determine that VDOT or Dominion or somebody else can move your line, then that's your decision, and we'll accept it.
Can I have a comment to you? Mr. Zedra.
Salt water line is one thing. Enforcement line is another. And so if the concern is that we want a clear enforcement line, that bridge, whatever the Route 30 bridge is, that can be what you tell the Marine Police, is the enforcement line is that bridge. But that doesn't have to change the MOU as to where the salt water is.
So when I say enforcement, it's a requirement where you need a freshwater license versus where you need a saltwater license. And
I understand.
That's the line.
I understand.
Okay.
I would comment, if you allow me, just that I don't believe there's a hard line on the James River. Fished it a lot. I'd like staff to show me that hard line that they think we have to have, because what I'm telling you is you have one. You got two bridge abutments that extend 40 feet into the water on each side and have riprap all around them. And a line on a map by two agencies saying that's our line. And you did fund projects in mesohaline waters. ACOMAC chimed in yesterday to acknowledge that their most recent project is the same salinity as where this project is. Don't know why staff couldn't share that information with you, but it's available online.
Any other discussion?
No, again, I don't. Again, the salinity of the water doesn't mean anything to me. It has to do where does that license cover? And that has everything to do to me. Right? And when the license didn't cover the seaside, we didn't fund seaside projects. Salty as it gets. And the seaside realized they were missing out on a good thing, so then they got themselves added to the salt fishing license.
Sam, come.
Yes. Chairman, am I excused?
Yes. Thank you, sir. Here, Mr. Sutton.
Okay, here's a question, and I hope I say ask it right. Can we refer this back to RFAB with a MOU documenting the line being where it would include this pier, this proposed pier, with a recommendation that the saltwater license funds contribute 2/3 of the project cost, and the other third come from the county and or other sources, along with completing a checklist of any other requirements that would be necessary.
Could I expand on one thing? The lady said something about this is just the pier, not the project cost. Are you what the whole project cost or just the pier?
Okay, the pier is what?
The pier cost.
The pier cost.
Yes.
Correct?
This budget in front of you is for the pier, and the question of the DGIF funding and all of that includes the non-powerboat access, which they have planned for the site as well. So that's up to the commission, you know, what you're interested in looking at funding. The total project, the title includes the non-powerboat access, but in their application they note that they're seeking funding from a separate source for that portion. But as far as the $182,000, that is the pier only. And RFAB does have another cycle starting. Those applications are due December 15th.
I don't know if that's a motion, but those are my thoughts. That would be a recommendation.
I guess, you know, where he's going, I think that's nice. I mean, I think that's good. I would support something like that if we can do that as a recommendation to RFAB to consider something like that to actually work with the localities. You know, I think the project's wonderful. You know, I think it's wonderful. It's just a matter of where the money should be coming from and whether and this is what RFAB struggled with. This is a project that is outside the saltwater license right now. Well, depending on where you draw your line.
Alicia, you look like you have a thought.
I do. I have just a clarification on your motion. Is this something that you want to see go back through the RFAB review cycle or just back at one meeting to RFAB? Okay, one meeting would mean they would vote on it in January. A review cycle would mean they could reapply, maybe with different numbers, like the 2/3.
I don't think they need to go through all that, but I do think we need to clarify that freaking line, or at least let the RFAB know that the line will be clarified, you know, that kind of thing.
The line will be clarified.
If I can speak to that, because I'm the one who ended up harping on that at that work session. I don't know how much clearer I could have made it to them. I mean, I covered all of Ed Rhodes' email issues and all that. We clarified to them that that line, it was just a matter of getting the project done, and that line was going to be handled. We went through this in detail with them. So it wasn't that it wasn't covered. We covered that in detail. I did it personally with them to make them understand, you know, it was a cart and the horse type of deal that kept coming up. But we did cover it with them in detail that, you know, it's just a matter of through the project, the line's going to be taken care of.
Mr. Neal, I have every expectation to have this MOU adjusted, signed, and this issue resolved within the next 48 hours.
Okay. Then I would recommend sending it back to RFAB, not through the whole cycle, just back to a commission, right, just to another meeting, and with all the information along with Well, this is normally the type of project that they would fund in a heartbeat. You know, this is normally the kind of thing that they really want to do. These are the kind of projects they want to have brought before them. It just would be nicer if it was just where the license fund covers.
Mr. Ballard.
Quick question on Mr. Sussman's motion, the funding portion of it. Is that something we should include going back to RFAB, or should we just say that going back to RFAB with the understanding that it's going to be in the saltwater area now and let them debate the funding portion?
They discuss the funding, you know, maybe it's too. I guess the thing is I would like them to have the option to discuss with these localities. I guess I would like them to be able to say, all right, what if we do like two-thirds? Would that be acceptable kind of thing? But I wouldn't want to tell them this is what you have to do.
Right.
All right.
I'd like them to be able to talk about stuff.
And then bring this back before the commission at the January meeting so it'd be a quick turnaround.
That would be January 27th would be my expectation.
Okay.
Mr. Sessions, can I take a stab at clarifying and ensuring we capture everything that you wanted in this motion?
Please.
Motion would be to send this project back to RFAB with the commission's recommendation that it examine and make a recommendation to the commission on funding two-thirds of this pier's project costs, with one-third being covered by the county.
Or other options. You know, I guess I wouldn't want to think that they're... I don't want to tell them this is their only option or nothing.
Well, and that's... I was using the word recommendation from the commission.
Okay. Right. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. And that RFAB would go through the checklist of the standard contract checklist requirements.
That is my motion, yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
First by Mr. Sessions, the second by Mr. Neal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes. So we will see this at the next commission meeting on January 27th, if you want a clarification.
One more question. When we say the project, are we talking about the pier project, or are we talking about the pier and now powerboat access?
We're talking about the pier project, my understanding was.
Okay.
Yeah, we just want that clearly stated.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Perfect. I got it. Go ahead and talk with me.
Thank you all very much for your forbearance and your civility.
We're going to exit, but thank you all again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.